Hi, I'm Michael Primrose, and this is the Property Finance Podcast. If you have an interest in growing your property portfolio, have experience in development, or you're just looking at starting out, then this could be the podcast for you. We talk all things property finance. We look at products, strategy, and more. So keep listening and check out some of our other episodes to make sure that you're up to date with all things property finance. In today's episode, I want to talk about Shawbrook's returning bridging product, and I'm also going to touch on vendor finance and how to get over some of the hurdles that may come up. Hi everyone, welcome back. So I want to start today by talking about Shawbrook's 85% loan-to-value light refurb bridging product. So this initially was a product that was around pre-COVID, and basically obviously when COVID hit, they decided to pull the product. So as of the 2nd of February, they've actually brought this product back to market. So essentially, it's an 85% loan-to-value light refurb bridging loan. So it's perfect for anyone who's looking at getting into buy, refurbish, refinance. In terms of the product, you're looking at loans from $50,000 to $15 million. You've got interest rates at 0.85% at the maximum 85% loan-to-value. Obviously, if you take a lower loan-to-value, you're going to get a lower interest rate. The arrangement fee is 1.95%, which is added onto the loan outside of their maximum LTVs. There's no early repayment charges or minimum interest period. So 85% loan-to-value lending for refurbishment costs only. Up to 100% of the refurbishment costs can be funded, but the total loan cannot exceed 85% of the day one purchase price or value, or 75% of the post-works valuation. So whichever one of those two is lower is what they'll lend. On this product, they're only going to lend for basic refurbishment works. So this is for truly buy, refurbish, refinance of kind of a vanilla level. So we're talking about decorating, replacements of kitchens, bathrooms, fixtures and fittings, flooring, windows, doors, minor remedial works, damp repairs, replastering, that kind of thing. It'll also cover the basic conversion to an HMO where there's no significant alterations to the layout of the property. And the bit I like most about this product actually is that you don't need to have any experience. So they'll actually consider applicants with no experience. So I think it's a really, really good entry level product to get you into that buy, refurbish, refinance model without needing to put huge deposits down. And also the other thing with Shawbrook as well is that they will look at refinancing onto one of their term products as well. So if you're worried about experience, potentially this could be an all-in product to allow you to acquire, refurbish and refinance any deals that you're looking at. So that's the new Shawbrook product. Like I said, that's come out as of the 2nd of February. So if you're listening to this podcast sort of relatively quickly after release, obviously get in touch with one of the team and we'd be more than happy to broker this product for you. If you're listening to this a couple of years after it's released, then this product may not be available anymore. Now, I want to move on to talking about vendor finance. So for any of you that have joined the Property Finance group on Facebook, you would have seen that I put a post out the other day just asking for any questions that people actually have that they want to get answered. And I think this is really important because this podcast, it's not for me, it's for me to answer questions that you guys have got around specific issues around financing. So before I just answer this question, just a quick point, if any of you have got any questions that you ever want answering, please feel free to drop me an email or get in contact via social media or drop me a line on the telephone. And any questions that you've got to be discussed on the podcast, more than happy to discuss, and also we'll give you a little shout out as well. So the question that came in was from John McDonald. So he said, "Hi, Michael, really enjoyed the vendor finance podcast and suggestion you had around looking at the deal from the accountant and solicitor's perspective. Also, is it possible to get the vendor's perspective of why they want to do the deal and what they get?" So there's some really interesting points in here. With regards to the accountant and solicitor's perspective, this is something we're going to address pretty quickly. We're going to look to get an accountant and a solicitor onto the podcast as quickly as possible in order to answer these questions around vendor finance and how it works from a tax perspective and also from the legal perspective as well. From the vendor's perspective as to why they do the deal and what they get. So there's a couple of different ways to look at this. So from the vendor's perspective, they've got a property that they want to sell, or maybe that they haven't been looking to sell yet, but are looking to sell in the future. And you're coming along with a solution for them. So it may be that they have a plot of land, for example, and it may be that you come along and say, okay, well, I'm going to take this on an option agreement. I'm then going to go and get planning permission, and then I'm going to purchase it at the point that planning is accepted. Now, with that, you're offering them a solution because nobody is necessarily going to want to purchase that property outright without planning permission. Now, with all of this, with any negotiation that you go into with a vendor, it's got to be a win-win situation. So the vendor has always got to feel like they are winning as opposed to losing out. So, for example, if that plot of land is up for £100,000, for example, and if they were to sell it to somebody directly with no planning permission, no uplift, no creative strategies or anything like that, they'd sell it for £100,000. So let's assume nobody's put a sort of cheeky offer in or anything like that. They've just bought it at market value. So they sell that land for £100,000. Now, to them, that feels like a win because they've achieved what they anticipated they were going to achieve for that land. Now, it may be if you come along with something creative and you say, well, I want to take this land on an option agreement. I'm then going to go and get planning permission. And then at that point, I can actually afford to pay you £125,000, for example. So at that point, again, they feel like they're winning because actually they're going to achieve more income from that property than they thought they were going to in the first place. So with option agreements, especially, I mean, vendors of just land, they know that it's very difficult for them to sell land just directly to somebody without any option agreements or creative strategies. It's very unlikely a developer is going to want to take planning risk unless they've been in the business for years and years and years and maybe have some spare cash knocking about and they're happy to take the risk, and actually they can mitigate that risk by having good relationships and whatnot. Maybe they've developed something close by previously. There's ways that they can mitigate their risk, but normally a developer isn't just going to purchase a plot of land without planning permission. So the vendor is anticipating that that is going to happen. Now, when it comes to vendor finance or creative strategies on things like portfolios or on commercial conversions, things like that, properties where they could just sell them on the open market without too much hassle and actually anticipate that they're going to sell them fairly easily, this is where you need to create a bigger win for the vendor. So if you're purchasing a portfolio of properties from a vendor, they're anticipating that those properties have a market value and that they're going to achieve that market value. Now, if they've got a portfolio that's worth, say, £3 million, chances are they're not going to sell it for £3 million if it's a decent-sized portfolio. Chances are it's going to sell for maybe £2.5, £2.7 million, because normally anyone that puts in an offer on a property like that, they're going to knock it down by 10, 15%, because they're purchasing all the properties in one go. So with that, in order to create a win, you've got to make the vendor feel like they're achieving what they wanted to achieve. So it may be that the properties have been on the market for 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, and they haven't sold for what the vendor was anticipating that they would sell for. And at that point, you can come in and you can say, well, actually, we can give you what you want for these properties, but you need to do this, 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 and this. And it may be that you say, well, you need to take £2 million up front, and then the £1 million on drawdowns over the next couple of years. Or actually, if we're going to do it over drawdowns, we can actually afford to give you 3.2 or 3.5 or something like that, or we can give you interest on the money that you've left in the deal. So there's ways that you can make it appealing. What I tend to find with these creative strategies with vendor financing and things like that is that it's very difficult to negotiate with a vendor when the vendor is in a position of strength, because if the vendor has already had 10, 20 offers at the full asking price, they're not going to take anything creative unless you're truly offering them something mind-boggling. So if they've had the full offer at 3 million and you came along at 3.5 million, then chances are they may well take it if you've offered such a substantially large amount over the offer price. But the difficulty there is, why would you offer that much extra? The deal has got to work for everyone. Like I said, it's got to be a win-win. So with that, if they're in a position of strength, it's very, very difficult to negotiate. If the property has been on the market for a year, they haven't had any offers, it doesn't look like they're going to get any offers near to the asking price, then the position of strength actually sits with you as the person making the offer, because you know whatever you offer, they're going to have to consider it to a certain degree because they haven't got anything else on the table. So in terms of negotiating these creative strategies, keep in mind that you need to have the position of strength. Now, to come on to the other point of it is obviously the security and how you secure that investment, and also why the vendor is going to want to do these deals. And it all does come down to this security, because if you can offer them something creative and give them security that they're going to get their money, then actually the vendor may start coming around to your idea of thinking. So in terms of security, there's a few different ways that you can secure a vendor's investment. So the first thing you could offer them is a second charge over the property. Now, their solicitor obviously is going to make a claim that a second charge isn't enough security. They want a first charge. The difficulty you have here is that the first charge is always going to go to the bridging, development or commercial lender. So you don't have the ability to offer a first charge because someone else has already taken it in order to finance it. So you would have to offer a second charge. Now, what that would mean is that the vendor would have to sit behind the main lender. Now, obviously, they're going to have to take advice around their security in that regard and how likely they are to get their money back. But what you could do is, as well as offering the second charge, you could also offer a personal guarantee. So you could say, well, look, if the second charge, for whatever reason, the company can't satisfy that second charge, then here's a personal guarantee. You can come after me personally for that debt. Now, another way that you might secure it is by giving shares within the company. So you might say, well, look, Mr. or Mrs. Vendor, I'm going to purchase this property for $3 million. So this is coming back to this $3 million portfolio. I'm going to purchase this property portfolio for $3 million. I'm going to bring you in as a shareholder at maybe 10, 20%. You don't really want to be giving more than 20% because at that point, the vendor would then have to be named on any loan agreements with bridging lenders or development lenders or mortgage lenders. They would then have to give personal guarantees for that as well. So it kind of ruins that negotiation because you're then asking them to give security on your bridging finance or whatever debt you've taken. But by giving them that sort of chunk of shares, they at least know that they have some ownership still over the property. Because with a lot of vendors, their biggest thing is if they're leaving money in the deal, they don't want to relinquish all of the ownership. Now, obviously, a lot of this, you're going to have to check with accountants and obviously tax experts and solicitors to make sure that everything's lined up. But I would say in terms of security, look at second charges, shares over the company, personal guarantees are the three main ones. And you can do a combination of one of those, two of those, or all three of those. But the main thing I think to take from this podcast is to come at these negotiations from a position of strength, offer a win-win solution for yourself and the vendor, and offer the right security. And when I say offer the right security for you and the right security for the vendor. And the other really important thing to remember is that anything is possible within property. You can put any deal you want, any deal structure together that you want, as long as obviously the solicitors can write it down within a contract. So don't feel like you're restricted within what you can offer. You could offer deferred payments with payments paid over 5, 10, 20 years. You can offer option agreements, lease options. You can look at structuring deals in a million different ways. So to a certain degree, try and be as creative as possible, because the more creative you are, potentially the more money in the deal and potentially the bigger return that you can give to the vendor. And at that point, obviously, the bigger return you can give to the vendor, the more likely they are to look at doing something creative. The other really important thing to remember when negotiating these things is not every single vendor is going to say yes. In fact, actually, the portion of vendors that are going to say yes to this kind of creative finance is very, very low. So what I would say is don't be disheartened if you speak to 10 vendors and 9 of them say no. And in fact, don't be disheartened if all 10 of them say no, because it is just a numbers game. It's a case of offering on as many of these deals as you possibly can and coming up with creative strategies on as many deals as you possibly can. Obviously, these kind of deals do work better direct to vendor, because it's very difficult for an agent to get involved in these kind of deals. Because obviously they're reliant on getting their fee at the point of sale. And obviously if a creative deal strategy is put in place, then how are they going to get paid? So again, it's trying to appease agents within the negotiations as well. So I would say try and do as many of these negotiations as you can direct to vendor. Obviously don't cut anybody out of the deal. If there is an agent, make sure that they're paid. But try and go as direct to vendor in as many instances as you can, because your hit rate will be much better. If you're going through agents, an agent is always going to put forward an offer from someone who can purchase the property in cash there and then, as opposed to something a bit more creative. So I would just try and get as many direct to vendor opportunities as you possibly can. And that's pretty much it, really, in terms of the negotiations and security and talking about what the vendor gets out of it. So hopefully I've answered John's question in as much detail as I can in obviously a short period of time. But like I say, if anyone else has got any other questions that they want answering on the podcast, obviously which will be accompanied by a bit of a shout out, then please do let us know. And obviously we'd be more than happy to do episodes answering all of these questions. And if anyone's got any questions specifically about this podcast, feel free to reach out. Or if there's any extended questions, then we can definitely look at doing another episode around vendor finance, maybe even doing a little bit of a mini series. And that just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening.